God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, basically the entire chapter. And in this chapter, we see the people of Israel leaving Egypt, being led by Moses, being that physical leader, but more importantly, being led by God, as our text notes that God was before them in that pillar of fire and that cloud. And what a magnificent sight it must have been to see the demonstration of God's power leading the people of Israel. After many hundreds of years in slavery, to now be free, you could almost picture that while they were walking and leaving Egypt, they were probably celebrating and saying, could this actually be true? You would think that there would be a great deal of rejoicing and confidence in the Lord that not over their own strength, but because the Lord was guiding them through Moses, they were now being freed. But then what happens when Pharaoh's heart gets hardened? He now starts to pursue the people of Israel, and now they are trapped. It's kind of interesting. What is their response? Is the response seeing that pillar of fire and that cloud? Oh yeah, we know the Lord is with us. Moses is here. The Lord is with us. We'll be okay. No, just the opposite response. As our text said, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, "It is because there is no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness." They had already sealed their fate. The title of this message is The Slave Drivers. And you might be initially thinking I'm going to be talking about Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. And the answer is no. That's actually the least that I'll be talking about as far as being the slave drivers. If you will notice that the people of Israel, how quick they feared not trusting in God. In one essence, they became their own slave drivers. How quickly they were to return back to Egypt. If someone would have said to them at that point, Pharaoh would give you a pardon if you would just return to your jobs, I bet they would have all lined up. They were willing to return to their slavery. Their slavery was comfortable. Yeah, it was hard work, but they knew what they were doing. They knew where they were going. Being led by a pillar of fire or a cloud, with this Moses leading, they didn't know what was going to be next. It may sound strange, but it's true. As human beings, sometimes we just enslave ourselves. Our fear, our anxiety enslave us, cause us to be paralyzed, so to speak. And the reason why is because of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is strong even when we're in the process of being freed. And we have that free news. Our sinful nature sometimes can be a little cynical. Can this Moses dude really do it? Is this really God leading us? Can he really do it? Yes, we need to remember that fear, worry, and anxiety are sins which can not only paralyze our mind, but also immobilize our body and hinder our growth as we are reattached to Christ. We know that Satan, the devil, not God, is behind these obstacles that the people of Israel have to face. Remember, God was leading the people through Moses. The people, not the Egyptians, were the ones who were fearing. What was going on in the people's mind? It'd be better to return back to the slavery instead of dying. That may sound also like a kind of a strange sentence, especially here in America, where we sometimes enjoy our freedom, we'd be willing to die for our freedom. Not so with the people of Israel. They weren't willing to die for their freedom. Again, their overwhelming fear and worry results in this sin of being attached to the things of this world instead of being free and being freed from God. You see, the people of Israel were not trusting in God to be their deliverer, their savior. They were trusting in their own means. They knew it was safe and comfortable back in Egypt. Jesus has some similar words for us in the New Testament from Matthew chapter 6. He writes, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." We have to remember, like the people of Israel, our worries consume us. Our anxieties paralyze us. We may sit there and say, "I would have had faith in God," but knowing our human nature, most of us probably would have done the same thing the people of Israel would have had done. Because our sinful nature is more self-focused instead of revering and fearing God. The first commandment reminds us, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So what's more important, to have that comfortable life or to fear God? From the Psalms, let me just quote a few of them here. "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant," from Psalm 25, verse 14. From Psalm 33, verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." And from Psalm 147, verse 11, "But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love." The problem the people of Israel had was they were still trusting in their lives from Egypt instead of trusting what God was providing for them. What was God's response now to their apparent lack of faith? Was he then scratching his head going, "Did I get the right people to deliver? How quick are they to fall away from me?" He could have allowed the army to come and to wipe them out as punishment for their lack of faith, or he could save them. Notice how God does deliver his people. He delivers them by doing a miracle, so to speak, by bringing them through the water of the Red Sea. As a result, they were delivered on dry ground, as our text notes. As Christians who also struggle with our sinful nature, who also struggle with fears and anxieties, we also need to know that God does the exact same thing for us. No, we don't go to the Red Sea and walk through on dry ground. But God gives us a similar answer. It is through the waters. You see, when we are concerned, when we are in fear, when we worry, when we are filled with anxiety, which causes us to be paralyzed or to doubt God's promises, we need to remember that God did the same thing for us as he did for the people of Israel. He drove them through the Red Sea. God is also driving us, who are slaves to our own sin, not through the Red Sea, but through the waters of holy baptism. And it is through these waters of holy baptism that our enemies of sin, death, and the devil are drowned. Notice in our text from Exodus chapter 14 that the people of Israel, after they got to the other side and God closed up the waters, the bodies of the Egyptians came floating and came basically onto shore. The people of Israel saw their enemy dead, no longer able to hurt them. For those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we know that we bear Christ. And because we now have Christ put upon us, and we know that through His death and through His resurrection, as we see the cross of Jesus behind me, we know that our enemies are dead. Sin, death, and the devil completely eliminated. But then our sinful human nature kicks in again. It sounds kind of bad to say this, but unfortunately it's true. Our sinful human nature wants to resurrect those that were dead so that they can paralyze us again. It sounds strange. God has just freed us. And because of our fears and our relationship with sin and us being driven back to sin by our sinful nature here, we are resurrecting the same enemies that Christ had already killed. It sounds strange, but the parallel is true. What we need is that slave driver. The one who takes his slaves, runs them through the water, cleans them, and frees them. And so as Christians, we don't say we need to be baptized over and over again every time we're in fear or worry, but just the opposite. We need to remember what Christ has done for us. St. Paul says to Timothy, in similar words, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." God gave us this relationship with Him, not so that we can continue to live in fear and worry and anxiety, but that we would be freed from it. God, through Jesus Christ, has provided all that we need for the necessities of this life and for eternal life. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and for those who believe and trust in that resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, have the gift of eternal life. And we will even say in the Lord's Prayer, that fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." Martin Luther writes, what does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. God does provide for our necessities. So why is sin hindering us? Why do we worry? Why are we consumed with the things of this world? As the Proverbs say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." The Proverbs are right and reminds us that we should put our hope, our faith, our trust in Him. You see, we have to remember God is always available to help you. As He was there for the people of Israel to deliver them from the hands of Pharaoh, He passed them through the waters on dry land. The psalmist in Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Did the people of Israel really think that God was going to let them down? Unfortunately, yeah, their fear was great. What about you in your life, though? What is causing you to be paralyzed or stopped in life? What is causing you from your continual growth with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through His Word? What is stopping you from doing the things that you want to do, that God is calling you to do? Whatever it is, we have to realize that whatever those burdens are, whatever is slowing us down in this life, as the psalmist says in 55, verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you." He delivered the people of Israel. He delivered us from sin, death, and the devil through His own Son's death and resurrection. He will deliver you from whatever you are facing. So we do not need to worry about our self-centeredness. We don't have to worry about the things of this world consuming us. We have to just remember what God has done for us. That's why we need to remember our baptism. Why it's important for us not to just sit there and think, "Oh yeah, that was something that occurred many years ago and has no more any effect today." It doesn't. What occurred many years ago when you were baptized is important for today. God loved you so much He was willing to attach Himself to you through the waters of holy baptism, forgive your sins, establish a new relationship with you. Since he was able to do that with you, do you think he's going to leave you alone and suffer from whatever you are worrying about now? Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us, for those of us who are still caught in our sinful nature, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupted through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Yes, we know that Christ conquered sin, death, and the devil. So we should not fear, but we should rejoice. And that's exactly what the people of Israel did in the next chapter. After they got through on the other side of the Red Sea, they rejoiced. They sang a new song. They danced. So as the people of Israel sang a new song and giving thanks to God, we're also going to sing a new song. It's one of the reasons why I put the sermon hymn at the end of this message. So if you could turn to your hymnals to hymn number 925, we get the text of that beautiful hymn that the people of Israel sang. Because it was God who drives them from slavery into a freedom that we now have because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we will sing this song, the song of Moses and Israel, LSB 925. Since we're going to be singing this for the first time, what's going to happen is I'm going to have John play through the refrain once. I will sing the refrain for you, and then we'll sing the refrain together, and then I'll go into the stanzas. Please note that after the so many stanzas, you'll see the word refrain. We'll sing the word refrain again. And then when we get to sort of like the 12th stanza where it has the Gloria, if you'd like to join me in that, please feel free to do so. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The voice and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea. And his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing
wonders. You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established it. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea.